This passage that Tony just read for us, and which I apparently did not send beforehand, isn't the text that was assigned in the lectionary for this Sunday. In fact, our narrative lectionary readings ended at Pentecost. But since we did that series on discernment after Easter, I've been dipping back into passages from Acts that we missed. And I was really delighted that this story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch was among those stories, among the options that I had to choose from for a pride-focused sermon. I was delighted because this is an opportunity to talk about the open, no barriers, enthusiastic reception into the beloved community for one of the persons or groups of folks within Scripture who's the most obviously an outsider, and especially a sexual and gender outsider. When this outsider, who was a Gentile, an African, a sexually and gender nonconforming person, asks Philip, what is to prevent me from being baptized? I think Tony's translation was slightly different, but he asks, what is to prevent me from being baptized? And the implication is absolutely nothing. He's able to go on his way rejoicing because of the welcome he has received. Because Philip has said, you are one of us. You are one of God's children. I'm very grateful, I have to say, for the scholarship of Dr. Wilda Gaffney for her work on this passage. And I'm particularly grateful that Dr. Gaffney has suggested a name for this person who is only called the eunuch by the narrator Luke. Although once he's called the man, but throughout the story, he's just called sort of by this other identity. And too often in the Bible, that's kind of what happens. People of marginalized identities are only identified by their otherness. But Gaffney suggests the name Abdimalka, which means servant of the queen, and which Gaffney says would have commonly been adopted by people in the court as their name, so they would be called that. So that's what I'm going to do too. I'm going to call this person Abdimalka. Because obviously he had a name, and it either didn't occur to Philip to ask what his name was or for Luke to record it. So Abdimalka and the presence of other eunuchs in both the Hebrew Bible and in the New Testament are pretty important to queer-friendly readings of Scripture. Those are folks who have been, so a eunuch is someone who has been surgically castrated, apparently to make them less threatening and more trustworthy in royal positions, particularly with royal women. And they may have had intimate relationships with other eunuchs or with men, but not with the women that they served. So Esther is an example of this. Esther had eunuchs in her service when she was the queen. And they often, as did this person, have positions of great responsibility and influence within that royal setting. And in this story in particular, the story that comes after the Gospels, after Jesus, about the beginning of the church, this story is throwing open the doors of the gospel to anyone who might previously have been excluded as one of God's people. And we learn unambiguously that there is nothing to prevent Abdimalka and anyone who shares one of his identities, queer, although like that's an anachronism, obviously, Black and African, non-Jewish, nothing to prevent him from being baptized into the way of Jesus. We learn that Abdimalka has been to Jerusalem, where he intended to visit the temple. So even though he is from Africa, he's come quite a distance from Ethiopia, he is a spiritual seeker who is longing to be in the presence of God and looking for a place to learn and a place to follow. And even though they are present in the Hebrew Bible, eunuchs are, Jewish law is also clear that men like Abdimalka are not, in fact, welcome in the temple. Deuteronomy 23 specifically prohibits men whose genitals who are not intact from being part of the Lord's assembly. He almost certainly would have been turned away from the temple, even from the court where foreigners were allowed to assemble. I think about all of the churches who say on their signs or on their websites, all are welcome. But in theology and practice do not actually welcome people who are queer or gender expansive. My friend Debbie was estranged from the church for a long time because she is gay. And there came a point in her life when she started to feel God calling her back to the church, back into belonging. And she really longed for a place where she could belong and be loved. And so when she and her wife started looking for a church, whenever they would go to worship in a new place, they would hold hands when they went in the door, because they wanted to get a sense of whether this place that they were visiting would actually welcome them. Would they get like the side eye and the glances? Would they have people kind of avoiding them as they found their place in the seats? Or would they actually receive a full welcome when it was obvious what their identities were and are? They wanted to know who would say with their words and with their actions, what is to prevent you from belonging here? And they finally did find a place at Chapel Hill Mennonite Church in North Carolina. And now Debbie is a pastor in Edmonton, Alberta, of all places. Like Debbie, Abdimalka has a seeker's heart. He's ready. He's looking for a teacher, and he finds one in Philip and in the Holy Spirit, who has prompted Philip to go alongside this chariot in this wilderness place. And after his rejection at the temple, Abdimalka is ready for someone to ask him curious questions, to share scripture, to study with him, and to say, you belong. Philip and Abdimalka open the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And the text that they're reading in Isaiah 56 is the passage commonly known as the suffering servant. First of all, great teaching by Philip, who doesn't just come in and say, this is what this means, and you should do this, and da-da-da-da. You know, no, he starts with, what do you understand about what you're reading? He starts with a question. And then together, they look at this passage, they read it, and Philip talks about Jesus and how this passage, the Christians now understand the way Jesus has suffered. He talks about Jesus' humanness and suffering and Jesus coming with love. Jesus' suffering and humanness allowed him to identify with the suffering of so many people who are experiencing that underside of the legal system, of social norms, sexual or gender expectations. There are very few people in our contemporary American culture at the moment There are very few people in our contemporary American culture at the moment that are more marginalized than people who share the identities, some of the identities that Abdimalka had, particularly Black and gender nonconforming. Trans people in particular are having their rights and their humanity stripped away day by day by day, even now. They know the suffering of which Isaiah writes, and Jesus too knows what it is to be in a body that is punished and violated. What is preventing us from rushing to their side and proclaiming belonging and welcoming? The Spirit is compelling us. I see some parallels in this story to another one in Acts, where Peter has this dream where he's called on by the Spirit to eat foods that he always thought were unclean. And he doesn't want to, but the God says, no, it's clean. What you thought was unclean is clean. And Peter understands this dream to mean that he's supposed to go out and welcome first Cornelius, a Gentile and a centurion, and then that the welcome is to be expansive. That story is told three times in Acts, kind of like how Paul's conversion story gets told again and again. It's a story that keeps making the gospel more and more and more expansive. But this story came first. This is the story that makes a way for welcome. The Spirit has claimed Abdimalka for a child of God, and a child of God who will take the gospel all the way to Ethiopia. Like, that's the ends of the earth in the ancient Near East. Like, that's all over the world. And even today, Ethiopia considers itself to be the first missionary, like the first place, like the birthplace almost of Christian mission. And even now, Ethiopia, oh, Karina might have to correct me, but I think Ethiopia has the largest Anabaptist population anywhere. Is it
fastest growing?
Oh, fastest growing. Maybe Indonesia is the largest or something like that. But we have many Anabaptist kin in Ethiopia even today. Several of my colleagues at seminary were from Ethiopia. I was elated a few years ago when MCUSA passed a resolution for transformation and repentance. Years ago, transformation and repentance of the way we have excluded queer folks from all aspects of membership and ministry. Years ago, I remember sitting across the table from a woman who had come to Seattle Mennonite through SMC's community ministry. She'd been close to being unhoused many times, and she was a volunteer there. And she confessed to me that she's lesbian and that she was so grateful for the welcome that she experienced at SMC. And she was seeking baptism, and that's what we were talking about. And so we were talking also then about MCUSA and our place in this bigger church. It was so painful for me to have to tell her that she would not find the same kind of welcome in all of the churches across our denomination. And she sobbed. She sobbed to hear that the church where she found such a home was not the same as so many of our kindred churches within our denomination. And so, yeah, I was so happy a few years ago to be able to vote with many other delegates for a more inclusive place, and frustrated with how much time it took to be part of a Mennonite church that has repented of its exclusion of our queer kindred. And I'm grateful and proud to be a pastor here. I am so proud to wear this stole that Darcy made me that is so beautiful and that speaks to our identity as a place of welcome. I'm proud to be at a church that's declared its welcome and affirmation and belonging for people of all gender identities and expression, for people of any sexual orientation, because what is to prevent us from welcome? The Spirit is compelling us, and may she continue to drive us in the direction of welcome. Thanks be to God. Mm-hmm.